Hello, listeners. It's Jennifer James of the Common Mystics podcast. If you're wondering how to tap into your own Spideys, I've got great news for you. The first ever Common Mystics online class will be offered virtually in February 2024. The Psychic Clairs is a five-part workshop designed to awaken your psychic senses and provide you with the feedback and tools you need to take them to the next level. For more information on the Common Mystics Psychic Clairs workshop, email us at commonmystics@gmail.com and include the subject line, Psychic Workshop. And now, on to the show. On this episode of Common Mystics, we get into the spirit of the season and talk about Christmas carols. I'm Jennifer James.
I'm Jill Stanley.
We're psychics.
We're sisters.
We are Common Mystics. We find extraordinary stories in ordinary places. But today, we are talking about the history of caroling.
Ah, Jennifer.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
You know, honestly, I'm okay.
Okay.
But we're going to save my
your rant.
More details on that
okay.
until the detours, because I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And if you guys are feeling a little bah humbuggy and want to throat punch many of people, please join us at Detours.
Jill, you always want to throw a punch at someone year round.
I know, but there are
don't
more
don't make
people.
It about Christmas.
There are more. But there are more people now. There are more people in my fucking way. And you know what else?
Oh, Lord.
Do you want to know what else? Okay. You know, like the jinglers outside the stores
yes,
asking for
like
money?
Salvation Army?
Yeah. Yeah. And you used to be like, oh, I don't have cash with me. I'm so sorry. Now they're like, here, I have a cell phone that you can rent. And I'm like, oh, you fucking dick. Now I'm like talking about my yearly budget and like how I can't afford to give to every needy child
Jill,
this year.
Why don't you just walk past?
Because they like go in front of you. They're like, ring, ring, ring. And you're like, ugh.
All right. Thank you for putting together this outline on the history of caroling.
Oh, you're welcome.
People might not know, but Christmas carols were big in our house growing up.
I do like Christmas carols. Chad's over it. Chad gets angry at me when I'm just like, la, 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 la. He's like, shut up, turn it off. I'm over this.
I think there are two reasons from my perspective, and I'm eager to hear yours, but there are two reasons that in our house as kids, Christmas caroling was big. And one of the reasons is because we didn't have a lot of money. So mom would dress us up, put us in a line, and put us in front of our grandparents and be like, this is your gift. Sing for them. Remember?
Oh, wow.
So we would always like sing. We would always sing grandma's favorite, right?
The little drummer boy.
And we had our itinerary and we would mm-hmm. sing for our grandparents.
I didn't
and
know
aunts.
That was
a gift.
I didn't know that was in lieu of our, that well, the mom. Oh, bless
yeah,
her
that
soul.
Was their
what a
gift.
Thrifty woman.
So that happened. But also because all of us went to Catholic school for at least a period of time. And at our school, we had a Christmas pageant every year where they would use like the stage either in the church or in the gym. And every grade, it was like 4 hours long, and every grade would like walk up there in single file and like sing, and the piano teacher would play the piano, and mm-hmm. and so that was big. Like the buildup was big. We all had our sheet music.
We had to buy new clothes.
We brought our sheet music home. We practiced.
Music.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that is something, singing together and specifically Christmas carols were big in our house.
And we would randomly like sit because in our household, we weren't allowed in the living room.
Yes.
The front room of our house was reserved for important people, which was not us.
Right.
And it was always clean and it was always really well decorated. And so we would like at night, the house would glow from the inside out. And so we used to sit in the living room, although we weren't supposed to.
At Christmas time.
And mm-hmm. at Christmas time and sing Christmas carols.
Right. So did you have a favorite from childhood?
I do have a favorite.
What's your favorite Christmas carol?
From childhood?
Well, yeah, from childhood,
like
the
favorite.
One, yeah, that used to sing.
Angels We Have Heard on High.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I love that one. I really, really love that one. And We Three Kings is fun, although you can't meow it.
We Three
You've
Kings is fun,
this.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, yeah. So I'm really happy.
What's yours?
I really like O Holy Night, but I can't sing it. Like, I don't have the range, but to hear someone else sing it, it just gives me goosebumps every time. I think it's just a beautiful song.
The song that I will forever associate with you is Chestnuts Roasting Over an Open Fire. And yeah, I know you hate
it. Yeah, I do.
But
hate
that was like your big eighth grade like standout performance that you did the solo.
I did do
in
a
church.
Solo. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
And I remember that being a little kid.
Anywho, so the history of caroling. Shall we talk about it?
I wrote a whole outline about it.
Yes,
I'm
sure
so glad you asked.
Last year's Christmas episode was about how Christmas traditions were actually borrowed from other ancient cultures over time. Remember that one?
Would you believe it?
And so this is a nice follow-up to that, I think. So according to UK's University of Plymouth, a carol is a song or hymn with the theme of Christmas, traditionally sung during the surrounding Christmas holiday season. Now, carols have been sung for thousands of years, right?
True.
In Europe is where they started, but the earliest ones weren't Christmas carols as we know them today.
You know what?
What?
I found out during the research that it wasn't just Christmas carols. They sang all the time for like every season's holiday, and Christmas carols just won out as like, this is the jolly time of year, we're going to sing it all year round. But there's like... there's Halloween carols, there's Thanksgiving, like all kinds of carols, like harvest carols.
Right, you're
May
talking
Day
about
carols.
Pagan, right? Like pagan carols, or are you talking about Christian traditions when you talk about year-round caroling?
You know, it's funny that they're so closely related, but either, to be completely honest with you, both.
So a lot of scholars believe that that Christmas originated from an ancient Roman pagan festival that happened around the winter solstice called Saturnalia. And Saturnalia was a festival all about honoring the god Saturn, of course, who was an agricultural god. So, I mean, that would make sense.
Totally.
Right? Like, you want a good harvest next year, you better start paying your dues now to Saturn.
Right. Be like, we loved you. We had a good harvest.
Right.
Everything was great. Remember me next year.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and it's believed that many of the Christmas traditions that we know and celebrate today, like hanging wreaths, lighting candles, having feasts, and exchanging gifts, actually started with Saturnalia celebrations because they were so close in date and time of year. And early Christianity turned this pagan solstice tradition into a celebration for Christmas and gave people Christian songs to sing.
Some of them are really bad, but let's go into the roots. Let's get early roots.
Yeah. So the very, very first Christmas carol or Christmas song is one that's basically unknown today. And it was called Angel's Hymn. And it dates back to the year 129. Mm-hmm. A Roman bishop said that Angel's Hymn, that song, should be sung at a Christmas service in Rome. And this is the oldest Christmas carol, according to sources.
I like it.
Yeah. I wasn't able to find it online. Like the actual song. Do you know what I mean? Like someone singing it.
Yeah. Or an orchestra playing it.
Right. Actually, I didn't look. Yeah. I'm lying. Should I do a quick search?
Should we look?
Yes, I think you should.
I think you should because you know there's like five people out there being like, well, I just looked it up right now. It's on YouTube.
All right, wait. What's it called? Angel's Hymn.
Angel's Hymn.
Angel's Hymn.
There's a lot of bad Christmas carols that I just hate. Mary, did you know that's a terrible one?
All right. You know what?
Because she was the first to know.
I think we already talked about that.
Okay, wait, hold on. Simply having a wonderful Christmas.
Why did you
time?
Have to put
like
that in my head?
Paul
McCartney should know better. That is unforgivable.
Thank you.
He's a Beatle.
And
he made that.
The best known collaborative songwriting duel he is a part of, and yet he gives us that. You know what? It was like he like dug through his trash because he had a deadline. That's what happened.
Well, we can't relate to
that. Literally. Where's that carol outline we put together? Angel's Hymn, you say. Tell me other bad Christmas carols why I do this.
I don't like Last Christmas by Wham. I feel like George Michael should be in that league with Paul McCartney, who should have known better.
I love
you
that song.
You do?
I do.
I don't like
I
it.
I do.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I found it.
You know why I don't like it? Because he's whiny. Why you gotta give me a whiny-ass Christmas song? That is not the spirit of the season.
Hold on. It sounds kind of scary.
Okay.
It sounds like the beginning of The Exorcist to me.
I can't hear it on my end. I trust you.
You can't hear this?
No. That's the angel's hymn. It sounds like the theme song from The Exorcist.
It does. And I got this from Opus Drama Promotus Trailers. I don't know.
All right. Forget it.
No, leave it. It's on YouTube.
Okay. You can find, apparently sure. You can find it on YouTube. Good for you, Jill.
It sounds scary. Okay. It sounds scary.
All right, moving on. That's the first Christmas carol. So back in the day, Christmas carols weren't actually very popular with the people because they were written and sung in Latin, as you know. And Latin was a language that not everybody could understand. And as a result, most common people didn't really have an interest in caroling during the Middle Ages. However,
that makes sense.
Over time, composers all over Europe started writing Christmas carols that were more enjoyable in people's native tongues and easier for everyone to understand.
How inclusive.
Now, back in the 9th and 10th centuries, Northern European monasteries came up with the idea of turning the Christmas hymn into a bunch of rhymed stanzas. They wanted to make them more catchy.
I can see that. What's a Christmas carol that's a rhymed stanza?
So, A Little Town of Bethlehem has stanzas that rhyme. I think most of the ones that we sing now are rhymed stanzas.
Okay, I can see that. Silent Night, O Come All Ye Faithful. They're apparently saying that those are rhymed
stanzas. Yeah, so I think most of the ones we sing now, it's the older ones that didn't have rhyming stanzas.
The ones that sound like the beginning of the Exorcist.
Apparently.
Okay, go on.
Now, I have to tell you this. All right. Then.
I don't know why you're going to say, like, it sounds like I know, like, my version of the outline doesn't have anything risque coming up. So why are you
preparing
me?
It's not risque. It's just, this tickles
me. The way you're saying.
Then in the 12th century, so like the 1100s, a Parisian monk, so a monk, a French monk from Paris.
Ooh.
I was waiting for you to say, oui, oui. Monk Adam of St. Victor started getting inspiration for music from popular songs, and that's how we got something more like the traditional Christmas carols. So first they started to add the rhymes in, then they started to borrow popular tunes. Why is your mouth open?
Because I printed the outline, and at the end of the outline, there was this really stupid, ridiculous song. And I was like, I didn't put this stupid, ridiculous song in this outline. And then I'm like, where did she get this stupid, ridiculous song from? And here it is,
here
Jennifer.
It is.
Please share with the folks this stupid, ridiculous song that the Parisian monk Adam of St. Victor put together for us.
He didn't. I added it because it's one of the oldest Christmas carols.
This isn't even his.
No. I added this
because
it's one of the oldest Christmas carols. We are both talking about the Friendly Beasts, okay? It's circa the 12th century AD. So it's right around the same time. And I thought, I looked at oldest.org for the 8 oldest Christmas carols, and this one made the list. Now, why do I bring it up? Because you know this song.
Because it's terrible.
Because you know
no,
this.
No, I do not.
You know this song.
I do not
okay,
know this song.
Think back.
Friendly Beast.
St. Bernardine School.
I don't know.
Our sister Jessica's grade. She was the donkey.
No.
Kind and good. She was shaggy and brown. Yes.
She was shaggy and brown and kind and good.
Look at it. Jesus, our brother, kind and good, was humbly born in a stable of wood, and the friendly beasts around him stood. Jesus, our brother, kind and good. You remember this? They all had, like, faces.
Keep going. I'm getting choked up.
I said the donkey shaggy and brown. I carried his mother uphill and down.
He seems so happy about it too, but that would suck.
I carried him safely to Bethlehem town. I said the donkey shaggy and brown. You don't remember singing this? This is
so
Jessica's
cute.
Grade. Jessica, they were all like lined up and they all had these like donkey faces. There was a cow, there was a sheep. I'm almost positive she was the donkey.
Okay.
Then in the 14th century, there was another big change in the history of Christmas carols. Franciscan friars who followed St. Francis of Assisi came up with the first ever traditional Christmas carols. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Love it.
Purportedly dates back to the 13th century and is also
one of the oldest.
That is a great one. And these new carols spread to France and Spain and Germany and other European countries.
This is what I told you. For a period of time, the carols were attached to any season.
Oh,
any season, Jennifer.
Wow.
There was harvest carols. There were May Day carols, all kinds of carols. But the Christmas carol survived. Mm. The rest of the year's carols died out.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that's pretty cool.
Right. And back in the day, they used to sing and dance in a circle with their hands linked together when they sang. Okay.
I don't know why in a circle, but that does feel very pagan.
It does.
And
I kind of like the idea.
I can kind of see it.
Yeah, but the dancing was faded out over time.
It's probably for the safety of...
Well, I mean, yeah, germ spreading too. They must have, you know, made that connection at some point. That if someone's, you know...
Yeah.
That's how germs spread, by being around other people.
Right. We didn't live through the first pandemic, one of many.
There are many popular Christmas carols with pagan references. Did you know?
I did know.
And one of them is Deck the Halls.
Let me tell you about this.
Okay.
Song, please. Because that's the best song. Because it's fun.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
1800s.
Cool.
The lyrics that we sing today were like rewritten in 1862.
Okay.
And this is a popular Christmas song, like Christmas carols that we sing, right? But, Jennifer.
Yes, tell me.
I'm about ready to blow your mind.
Tell me.
So it really is a song that originated around Halloween time in the Welsh tradition.
Oh, now, in Wales.
In Wales. Wow. So I cannot say the name of the festival or the song because many reasons.
Right.
One, I can't read.
Don't
Two,
speak.
I am not Welsh. And I don't want to insult any of our friends on the other side of the pond. So just know that this tradition and this song started around Halloween,
wow,
which we know is the pagan New Year.
Wow.
So
crazy.
Yes. Right? So they wrote the songs with the lyrics about the time of year of the coming of the winter and the coming,
yeah,
of the new year that we took and then applied it to the Christmas time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cheeky.
Yeah. And the tradition of celebrating Christmas with the Christmas songs, as we've discussed previously, mm-hmm, became bigger and more sustainable than celebrating like Halloween songs.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they just transferred it. Yeah.
Okay. So there are references to, so in the song, Deck the Halls, one of the lines is, troll the ancient Yuletide carols and don your gay apparel. It's not what you think.
Yes.
It's not what you think.
I hope it is, though.
So, and
I'm a community supporter.
These lyrics suggest that the celebration isn't strictly Christian. You know what I mean?
Yes. So last year when we were doing like obvious deep dives into why we celebrate this time of,
mm-hmm,
year, this is indicators further than that.
Oh.
Things that we do and say today that reference back to those pagan roots. Tell me about them. Tell me about
Well,
them.
To deck, like deck the halls is...
Doesn't mean to punch you?
It
doesn't mean to throat punch?
Yes, that it does, depending on, okay, depending on your family at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, mm-hmm, means to adorn. So pretty much decorate, right? Decorate your halls, mm-hmm, or decorate your house, right? And that comes from,
yeah,
Middle Dutch. The verb don we now our gay apparel, means, do you know what it means? to put on, to so get dressed, like don your shoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And that's from the 12th century. Troll. Troll the ancient Yuletide carols. Troll. What's a troll, Jill? What does it mean to troll?
Nowadays, it means to have no face on the internet and put little nasty reviews on people's podcasts.
That's true.
I don't think we deserve
that's
that.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yes. It could also be a little monster-y beast, right?
Mm-hmm. Under the bridge.
Yes, exactly. But in this context, to troll means to sing in a full rolling voice.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I can troll.
Dates back to the 1500s. Yeah, cool.
That is cool. Mm-hmm. And Yuletide.
It also, by the way, to troll derives from a hunting term meaning to look for game in a wandering fashion.
Oh my
gosh. That's so cool, right?
That's cool.
That's what you'd be doing in the winter.
That is what you would be doing in the winter.
And then Yuletide. Yuletide is now a synonym for like the Christmas season in general. But in a more narrow sense, it refers to the 12 days of Christmas, usually counted from Christmas on December 25th to the arrival of the three kings, if you're going with the Christian tradition, right?
Right.
But before the arrival of Christianity, Germanic pagans, including the ancestors of English Christians, celebrated the winter solstice as the Yule. And the Yule log represented the renewal of the sun, right? So that it's a big log that you would light on fire, right? And to keep your home warm.
Right. And as we discussed last year, we keep saying that, but the Yule season started on December 21st and ran to the first of the year.
In the pagan tradition.
And they would keep in the pagan tradition and they would keep the Yuletide burning and people would just come for 12 days to like hang out and like eat, drink, and be festive.
Right. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Holly and the Ivy. I don't know this song. Do I know this song?
I'm not familiar. I mean, I know of it, but it's not like a go-to for me. I like hear it over like the Menards speaker.
Yeah, sure.
After you hear save big money and Menards. Mm-hmm.
The melody for this popular carol is an old English folk song, and the lyrics date to at least the early 18th century. But the sacred symbol of Holly and Ivy extend even further back into medieval England. Did you know this?
I did not know this.
So,
and we still decorate with holly and ivy.
We sure do.
Like today. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep. So tell me why we do this.
So before Christianity, the pre-Christians used holly and ivy in human traditions because they stay green all year. Mm-hmm. Even in the dead of winter, they are still a vibrant green, symbolizing everlasting life. And ancient cultures believed that these plants had magical powers to help keep bad spirits away.
You always want to keep the bad spirits away.
100%. J.K. Rowling used this idea in the Harry Potter series because Harry's wand is made of holly.
Oh.
And that's a nod to its reputation for banishing evil.
I see what you did there, J.K.
Decorating with holly dates back to Roman times. And it holds a special significance because it's believed to bring good luck and symbolize immortality. It was customary to present congratulatory wreaths to newlyweds with holly.
That reminds me of the tarot card. And the two of wands? Where the woman, it looks like the marriage card and the woman has the wreath on her head?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of wreaths in the tarot.
True.
During the festival of Saturnalia, holly was a cherished gift due to its association with Saturn, the god of agriculture. And in Norse mythology, holly was linked with Thor, the mighty god of thunder, and people would grow it near their homes as a safeguard against lightning strikes.
Wow.
How do you like that?
That's pretty cool.
Early Europeans embraced holly as a decorative element during their winter solstice festivities. This occasion, the solstice, was marked by the longest night of the year and symbolized the gradual return of the light and the imminent arrival of spring.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you love holly more now? I think holly's a really cute
name. It's such a cute name.
Isn't that so cute? A little holly cat.
Ivy is also a cute name.
True.
I love Ivy.
True.
Ivy has always been a symbol of eternal life, rebirth, and the spring season. In Roman times, ivy was associated with Bacchus, the Roman god version of Dionysus.
And we knew that from the Doors.
Dionysus was the god of wine and partying. Ivy was a symbol of loyalty and marriage, often used as a crown or in garland. And ivy was used for fancy decorations during ancient festivals. And some cultures saw ivy as a symbol of marriage and friendship, probably because it sticks around so well. Mm-hmm. Like it holds up. And it's also a sign of good luck and wealth, which early Christians adopted, using it as a reminder to help those in need during the holiday season.
I love ivy, just like in general. Like my in-laws have beautiful gardens and the bed of their gardens and every one of their gardens is filled with ivy.
Yeah.
Instead of like mulch, you know what I mean? It covers up and it's something you don't have to like weed or take care of as much.
Yeah, it doesn't need a lot of sun. Mm-hmm. And it's a very vibrant green. It's really kind of a miracle plant when you think about it.
It's really pretty.
Hang in there, guys. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. We are so excited to unveil the first book in our series entitled Common Mystics Present Ghost on the Road Volume 1, Murders and Mysterious Deaths.
It's everything you love about common mystics and more.
It's a retelling of 10 of our favorite stories from our pod with exciting extras.
Extras like souvenirs, what we took away from the experience, and what to know if you go, if you decide to travel in our footsteps.
Pre-order the Kindle edition now. All other formats of the book will be available for purchase at Amazon.com on July 1st, 2023.
Thanks, guys. Now back to the show.
Have you heard of O Christmas Tree, the carol?
I have.
Do you like it?
I know it. I mean, I don't need it, you know? I don't need it.
It sounds so German. Like the tune,
well,
the tune is so serious, you know? It's like a march, right? Dun, 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 dun. You know what I mean? It's so serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love to see, like, if there's comedians in Germany. Wouldn't that be fun?
We can look. I'm
like,
sure.
How would it be? Yeah, but like, what would there's rhythm to comedy. I wonder, like, what the German comedian's rhythm and timing would be.
I mean, we could look that up. That's an interesting question. So, Oh Christmas Tree, the Christmas
Bet
tree.
Bet you'd be different. Bet you'd sound different.
The symbol of the evergreen tree was too strongly rooted in old European religions to be entirely eradicated when Christianity came around. So Christianity hooked onto that and said, all right, we'll use it. Now, Oh Tannenbaum, which Tannenbaum is Christmas tree in German, or fir tree, is known in English as O Christmas Tree, and it is a German Christmas song based on a traditional folk song that was unrelated to Christmas. It became associated with the traditional Christmas tree.
Didn't know.
Interesting. O fir tree is a combination of the tune from an old German folk song, Long Live the Carpenter's Apprentice.
I'm glad they modernized it.
That makes sense because it's not really about a Christmas tree. It's about a carpenter's apprentice. So now it makes sense. He's hammering a nail. He's banging in the joint.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, you love this tree. You love this tree. You will make it something other and pretty.
Oh, my God. Okay. Now, the words were written in 1824 by a school teacher. I can't read these words, Jill.
Well, if you can't read them, we're just shit out of luck.
the words were penned in 1824 by a German.
You're the one of this group who can read, so we'll just leave it there.
Fir trees have traditionally been used to celebrate winter festivals, as we know, both pagan and Christian, for thousands of years. And pagans used branches to decorate their homes during the winter solstice and made them think of spring to come by bringing in the greenery from outside. Fir trees in Celtic mythology represented truth and honesty, strength, hope, and wisdom. And fir trees featured in many Celtic traditions have been carried into the modern European culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Douglas fir, that's the Christmas tree we had last year.
A Douglas fir. Mm-hmm. That was a key – Douglas fir was a key species of the Caledonian forest, which covered 95% of modern-day Scotland.
Mm.
So you're saying that the popular trees that we use today in the United States date back to, like, ancient Scotland. Yeah. That's freaking cool.
And if I remember, the only reason why I know the names of the trees is because my husband is smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember liking the – because some pine needles are owie and some are soft.
Yes.
And I think the Douglas fir was like a lighter
like
green,
a softer.
Softer.
Yeah, the hard needles are painful.
The long, hard needles? Yeah. No, I can't. The stepping on them when I was a kid, ugh.
Now, Douglas fir has been popular over time because the straight, tall trunk was a symbolic tower of honesty, truth, and strength.
Love it.
Okay. Evergreen fir trees remain green throughout the year long after the surrounding deciduous woodlands lose their leaves. And for this reason, the fir, along with other evergreens like holly, were a symbol of hope in a dark winter. Now, that makes sense.
Totally.
Winter traditions in the Celtic culture featured evergreen plants like holly, mistletoe, and the fir tree. And the everlasting nature of the fir tree was a symbol of hope to Celtic people and was celebrated in winter with the hopes of a fruitful spring to come.
Keep going.
Now, Romans used fir trees, too, to decorate their homes for the new year. And fir trees were first used as Christmas trees around 1,000 years ago in Northern Europe.
So what I'm hearing, and tell me if this is how you're interpreting this, is that when the sun goes away and shit's dark for a long period of time, people be depressed.
Yes.
So they did things to remind them that this is temporary and this too shall pass. The sun will come back. Look, we still have these trees and
this
is a sign. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's coming back.
Right.
Hang in
there.
Yes,
exactly. Nice. Very well summed up, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
What's our next song?
Here we come a wassailing.
Not my favorite.
Not mine
not
either,
my
but
favorite.
Isn't it about getting drunk at Christmas time? Because I'm in.
Yeah, but
I'm in. The term, is it wassail? I'm asking you. I think it's.
Yeah, I don't know, Jen. What would you think it is? That's what I'm going with.
Such a teacher.
However,
well, what do you,
you
think it,
it
is? Use your strategies. The term wassail, I don't know if I'm saying it right, might have come from the Old Norse phrase vesheal, which means be healthy. But most people.
That sounds like something grandpa would say.
But most people think.
Doesn't it?
Not really. But most people think it actually comes from an Anglo-Saxon greeting related to good health. In the traditional sense, when someone says wassail, the usual response is drink hail, which means drink and be healthy.
See? I can totally see Grandpa cheersing and being like, drink and be
he
healthy.
He used to say na zdrovye.
Yes, which is Russian for like...
Cheers.
It's more than that, but yeah.
To your health.
Yeah.
But. Wassail first appears in English literature in the pagan poem Beowulf. Oh, I did not know this.
I'm shaking my head at you like, yes, it is, but I only knew it because I did this outline.
In the following lines, these are the lines from Beowulf. I think Beowulf is like the original English epic poem. Like English literature like starts with Beowulf. Like it's a big deal.
It was a movie and I think Angelina Jolie was the witch. That's what I know about it.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I don't know. That's not my thing.
And the Scottish guy from P.S. I Love You is in it.
Okay.
And he's hot.
I don't know what you're talking about. But here are the lines from this ancient poem. The rider sleepeth, the hero far hidden, no harp resounds, in the courts no wassail as once was heard. Okay, the word wassail, I kind of have to know if I'm saying it right.
Wassail.
It's wassail. According to Google Pronounce, it's wassail. The word wassail even popped up as a toast right before the Saxon Battle of Hastings kicked off in 1066. Shut up.
I know. I knew. As soon as I read that, I was like, Jennifer's going to love it.
That's a big year for me.
If the next time I get into a brawl, I'm going to cheer as a wassail and then kick someone's ass.
According to an Anglo-Norman poet, during the final feast before the battle, he heard someone shout, Rejoice and wassail. Pass the bottle and drink healthy. Drink backwards and drink to me. Drink half and drink empty. Okay, I don't know if I would say that.
No, but I would drink. I mean, wow. Now, I think that should be our standard cheers now.
The Battle of Hastings, 1066. That's when, yes. That's when they say the history of the Western world began. At least that's what I heard in high school from my history teacher.
That got my attention. I'd go with it.
Wassailing is not merely a phrase, a greeting, or a toast. It encompasses so much more, Jill.
What more? What more, Jennifer?
Wassail encompasses both the act of toasting and the delightful beverage enjoyed during the toast.
Fuck yeah.
So it means that it means the process and the actual drink. Mm-hmm. Today, wassail has become a beloved holiday drink. I've never had it. Have you?
Never. No.
Well, now I wonder what's in it. Oh, look. In its oldest versions, it's a spiced wine reminiscent of the ancient Roman god. Of an ancient Roman god.
Spelled H-Y-P-O-C-R-A-S.
Hypocras?
I mean, again, who are you asking?
The ancient, I mean, he sounds like a hypocrite. I wonder if he was a do as I say, he not say as it. I do type of god. Right?
You just said he say it. Really? Shakespearean character.
Okay, so wassail, spiced wine. Okay, mm-hmm. Yum.
Another
rendition of wassail, known as lamb's uh-huh. wool, is even mentioned by Shakespeare himself in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Traditionally, wassail was served in a bowl rather than a glass. Okay, I see it.
Like punch.
Oh.
Like punch.
Oh, okay.
What were you thinking, you alcoholic? She's like, no, I've been there. Whole bowl of wine. Done it.
Just put your face in it. When you get too drunk to, steady your hand.
A trough.
Like a trough. Exactly. It's for you and your friends.
Sharing's caring.
Oh, my God. Traditionally, wassail was served in a bowl rather than a glass, and people would dip their bread into it or float toasted bread on top. Okay, you lost me.
Oh, no.
No, no.
Double dip?
No.
No, no, no. Be like, get your nasty, crusty bread out of my wine.
No, don't do that. Mm-mm-mm-mm. It's like when you dunk your cookie in the milk and then you have a bunch of debris in your milk. You're going to have a bunch debris in the wine.
First of all, if I drank milk, that's how I would drink it, with the cookie debris.
Okay. I lost you. You. All right, forget it.
Bread. You said cookie and bread. Then I went.
Bread. You're going to dip your bread in your wine. Oh, wow. That sounds so Christian.
I'm not. Oh, my God. Now it does. Jennifer, we're supposed to be doing that every Sunday.
Oh, God.
Jesus, forgive me.
Okay. But wassail.
That's exactly.
I know.
We are bad. We are bad Catholics.
We're such bad Catholics.
Here we are. Wow. That's like the whole mystery of our faith. That's like the whole thing. That's the whole thing. We dip the bread in the wine and we eat it every Sunday.
What we're supposed to.
But not our heathen asses. And we didn't even get the reference.
No, we didn't. Not until just now. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself. I still wouldn't do it, though. Like, I wouldn't have a bowl of wine and dip my bread in it.
Well, it's not
like
really
for the holiday.
Bread.
Huh?
I'm just saying, when it's a wafer.
Yeah,
it's
I know. But I'm talking about, in tradition, it was bread.
Yeah,
and it was a bowl of wine,
sure.
wine. You know what I mean? And you dip your bread in the wine, that's a mess.
In the wine.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
Why? Just why?
Yeah, there's no reason for that.
Enjoy your wine. Butter the bread, enjoy your wine.
Okay, but wassail is not just about the drink and the phrase. It is also a verb to go wassailing, Jill. To go wassailing.
So go drinking?
I don't know.
Go out drinking? We gonna go wassailing tonight.
Jill, you wassail every night, just about.
I wassail? I'm gonna wassail the fuck out of that.
This intriguing tradition likely has a fascinating pagan origin, particularly in Western England, where hard cider production is essential. Mm. Every year, people in this region venture into the orchard with a drink in hand to sing to the spirits of the apple trees. Ah, this practice known as wassailing aims to awaken the trees. Oh, they have to wake up the trees.
That's so cute. I know. Cute.
And ward off evil spirits. Always. You always have to ward off the
always
evil spirits.
Ward off
you
the
can't
evil
forget
spirits.
To do that. Now, sometimes cider-soaked bread. Really? Again? Cider-soaked bread is placed in the branches for protection. That's adorable. The oldest tree in the orchard, known as the apple tree man, is also revered during wassailing. Okay, that's creepy. So they find the oldest apple tree in the orchard and they give it a name, apple tree man.
And they honor it.
Wow.
With...
It is believed that the fertility of the entire orchard stems from this oldest tree. And the oldest tree receives special attention with cider poured onto its roots. That might be killing it, actually. Like, that can't be good. Maybe it just looks the oldest because y'all are flooding it with liquor.
First of all, can you imagine me watching someone pour out liquor to the tree? I'd be like, oh, the tree said I should have it. I'm feeling the tree now. The tree is sure.
I had a conversation with Apple Tree Man, and he said he's had enough this year.
Apple Tree Man is a part of AA now. We don't like to talk about it. Anonymous, right? But I do have to tell you that reading...
Apple Anonymous. Go ahead.
Reading this reminds me of some of the early Santeria devotions to the Ochos. They do things like that.
This is insane, and I don't know why there isn't a horror movie written about Apple Tree Man. Like, this writes itself.
I feel like you're being really disrespectful.
Apple Tree Man?
Apple Tree
the
Man.
The oldest
he's just,
tree spirit
he's just
in the orchard.
Hanging out. He's just chilling. You come, you sing to him, and you give him wine and bread. I don't understand. Cider and bread. I don't understand why.
I don't know.
Why
it,
are you
it goes
why
dark.
Do you have to make apple
It goes dark for me. It goes dark.
It doesn't.
It goes dark.
I love the idea of, like, you can, first of all, again, you can see how this was taken from around Halloween time.
Totally.
The harvest.
Yeah, totally.
Like, right?
Yeah.
That's number one. Cool. Number two, I love the idea of going to the forest and singing because grandma used to talk to her plants. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That just makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to think we're crazy if we show up in an apple orchard drunk as fuck and be like, apple tree man, I love you. La, 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 la.
Wassailing does not solely occur in orchards, Jill. Some people take their singing from door to door, reminiscent of a trick-or-treat version of caroling. Shut up right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you go wassailing. Now, what are you so when you go trick-or-treating, though, follow me. When you go trick-or-treating, okay. You're pretty
you
much
go door-to-door and ask.
You're begging for candy. When mm-hmm. you go wassailing, you're drunk AF, you're going door-to-door begging for liquor? Is that the concept?
If that is, we're totally bringing it back. But I think it's like you're singing for something.
Yeah, for payment.
Like
the singers expect some sort of payment for their songs. But what if they suck? And like, I didn't ask you to come to my house, dude.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? I always thought that about carolers. Like,
wow.
I did not ask you to come here.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
What?
Have we ever had carolers at our house growing up?
No, but
Never
we've been
once.
Carolers.
That's true. That's true. And I enjoy it.
Not like on the street, but I remember like some sort of...
For church.
Yes, for church.
Like walking around
the
block
mall.
Singing or something.
I remember walking around a mall.
What is wrong?
I don't know.
What is wrong
Our upbringing
with us?
Was fucked.
Off.
Yeah, it was off.
It was very, very off. Okay,
right.
Continue.
So I love this. So when you're wassailing, you go door to door, i.e. trick-or-treating, but you're not begging for candy, but you do, as a singer, expect some form of payment for singing. Mm-hmm. And that aligns with the notion that at the holiday season, this is a time when social expectations are relaxed. So when a drunk group of people come to your house singing, you should welcome them, right? This is mm-hmm. a time of social ease. Now, during this time, the less fortunate were granted privileges typically denied to them, including the right to enter the homes of affluent people and indulge in their libations in exchange for a wassailing song or two. Okay. So that's why, like, when you look at old time decorations or pictures of carolers, they're oftentimes like shabby. Mm-hmm. They look shabby. You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
poor people,
homeless people.
Yeah, homeless people who would go to the rich neighborhoods and sing. And then because it was the holiday time, the rich people would let them into their house and give them a drink.
Now, to me, that's a horror movie.
I don't know. I think Apple Tree Man is the way to go on that. I think Apple Tree Man is a better concept than this.
Think about like Home Alone, where Joe Pesci's dressed up as a cop to be like, oh, I'm just checking in to make sure everything's okay. Like, that's like, be like, la, 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 seeing what they got. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just I haven't that. Seen Home Alone.
You, well, oh,
I've never
God.
Seen it.
You've never seen, well, you're about 23 years late.
Okay.
Probably more than that.
I think it's more than
that. It's really good.
Yeah, no, it's more than that.
It's really good.
I think I'm like 33 years late.
I agree with
so
that.
So in summary, Christmas carols are amazing relics of ancient pagan customs.
Isn't that right?
That have been blended perfectly with our modern day festivities. These catchy tunes, sung with so much joy and togetherness, aren't just for your regular holiday tradition. They're like this incredible connection to history, taking us back in time when people celebrated the rhythms of nature with music and dance. Every carol we sing during the holiday season is like a sweet reminder of these old customs beautifully preserved and passed down through the ages. That's pretty cool, huh?
That is way, way,
way cool.
Cool.
I love it.
So,
thank you for this talk. Okay. This outline is
oh my God.
So good. I love
I
it.
Have questions. I have questions. I have questions.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. So Christmas carols that we would sing for just for the family and for ourselves.
Oh, you mean when we were kids?
Yeah. Okay. There was the Advent candle song that I really liked.
Oh, it was terrible.
I loved it because I had the baby Jesus part and it made me so happy.
I don't know if people know that song. It might have been written for school age children and it's basically like a to-do list.
Yeah.
For Advent. And it tells you which candle to light when over the
I
course.
Love it.
It's so dry. I can't believe you love that.
I love it.
It's like light the Advent candle one. Now our waiting has begun. It's literally a to-do
list.
That
was your verse. Mine was light the Advent candle four. Think of joy forevermore. Birthday candles for the king. Let the hallelujahs ring. That was mine.
Okay. You're right. I was number one. You were number
four.
You
had the worst part.
I did.
You're like, get
boring.
On with it. Okay. What? So, and then do you like Silver Bells?
I do like Silver Bells. Did we sing that one?
I like Silver Bells too. If we did, it was bad.
It was really bad. I mean, we were bad.
Angels We Have Heard on High,
oh,
we
I
sang.
Love it.
Oh, Come Holy Faithful.
Yes, we did.
Away in the Manger.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
I love Hark the Herald. And that's a great one. That's a really good one. Drummer Boy.
Mm-hmm. What Child Is This?
I don't like that one.
I like it because What Child Is This? You can hear the medieval tune because it used to be Greensleeves. Which is a song that King Henry VIII wrote, Greensleeves.
Shut up.
Yeah. And so that melody was used for What Child Is This?
I will have to.
Yeah.
Now I'll have to
you gotta,
revisit
yeah,
it with
you got to
listen
to it. And the way the music goes, it totally sounds like someone, like a jester is playing a lute. You know, when you hear the tune, it's very medieval. That's why I like it.
Very cool. I did not know that. Mm. Anything else you want to add?
Well, the one that I was always elicited to sing was Lulajże, which is the Polish Christmas carol. I just heard it yesterday on Pandora. I was listening to
it. Can
a Christmas...
you sing it a little bit?
I'm
honestly,
so bad. And we have
please,
Polish people
please,
listening,
Jennifer,
and
please,
I don't speak Polish.
Please.
It's just.
Please.
It just goes.
Please.
No, I can't.
No, Jennifer,
I have a sore
please,
throat. I can't.
Please,
no,
Jennifer,
stop whining.
Please.
No,
no
why
one
are you
expects
begging
you to be Lady Gaga because you're not giving me anything for Christmas and I want this to be my gift.
No.
Jennifer.
No.
You have to.
No, a lot of people are going to hear
please,
this.
They're going to
no,
like
they're
it.
Not. They're going to be like, wow.
Yes,
she
they
sucks.
Are. They like us meowing. People like us meowing. You don't think they're going to like you singing Lula
All
right, Rish?
People. Number one, that's not what I said. Number two, the people who don't like us meowing are just nice people who aren't coming back and saying, you two are so stupid.
Can you, okay, please tune out now if you don't want to hear Jennifer, but Jennifer, sing it. Just like one
Okay, just like one bar.
Chorus. Yes.
Lulajże Jezu All right, I'm going to stop there.
Oh, it was so cute, and it reminds me of Grandma
so
much.
I know, it's such a grandma.
Because she would sway and tap her little finger. Yeah, so cute. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, okay, are we
so
done? I'm done embarrassing myself again in public for another year. Oh, my God.
Yes, let's tell the people where we can find where we can find the people, Jennifer.
Where, can we find
where are these people?
You tell them.
Oh, you guys, check us out on our website, commonmystics.net. Find us on all our socials at Common Mystics Pod. Please listen, like, subscribe, and download wherever you're hearing your favorite podcasts.
What else should I say after that? Thank you for a fantastic 2023. We love you. We appreciate you. Please keep telling your friends about us and email us your comments, suggestions, questions, and more. Love you lots.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. This has been a Common Mystics Media production. Editing done by Yokai Audio, Kalamazoo, Michigan.